Croeso. Welcome to RCF. We hope you enjoy this message.
Anyway, Acts 2, 42 to 47. We'll just read this. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Luke likes his summaries, and we've seen the growth points throughout Acts that we looked at in the introduction. But here is a summary in between those growth summaries, and it acts as a bridge between Peter's first sermon on the day of Pentecost and his second public sermon that's recorded, when a layman who's been crippled from birth asks for arms and receives legs. That's not original, unfortunately. But this man who was lame from birth is healed. And where 3,000 become Christians on the day of Pentecost, and as Geraint showed us on that map last week, they spread out all over the world. There's the gospel going to all nations. Good head start for the apostles. Now, it's concentrating on Jerusalem and the church there, and 5,000 people respond after seeing the healing and hearing Peter's explanation and preaching of the gospel, and there is this incredible explosion of people coming to faith in Jesus. In between that, it's telling us how the life of the early church was in Jerusalem. And after the day of Pentecost and people responding to Jesus, we find that they devoted themselves. There's the apostles' teaching. I hope that we regularly imbibe the apostles' teaching through preaching, teaching, and scripture. But there's other things here as well. Fellowship. They were there. You take all the one another's of the New Testament, and you find that they were happening right here. They were loving one another, encouraging one another, correcting one another. They were also breaking bread, and there were regular prayers. And that might be regular prayers at the, they were still going to the Jerusalem temple. Now, when we look at the breaking of bread, we might think that, oh yeah, we know what that is, we've just done it. There's probably a double meaning. If you look a bit further on, in verse 46, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. So they broke bread in their homes. I remember a principal in college saying, what is the difference between the communion table and the kitchen table? There is none. The communion table might be a piece of furniture that we have in a building, but we can have communion at the kitchen table. And here was a church which, in their eating together, and if you look at 1 Corinthians 11 carefully, And if you tie that in with verses in Peter and Jude, where they talked about the love feast of the early church, then breaking of bread took place in the breaking of bread. So the breaking of bread as an ordinary meal could incorporate breaking of bread together as Christians. So their lives, they didn't just come formally, they met informally. They weren't only in the temple, they were also house to house. And when the temple is denied to them because of persecution, and because they realize that actually the church now is the dwelling place of God, the church is the temple of God, when they realize that, when the temple goes, they have this mechanism, if you like, of meeting from house to house. So I think that's something that I'm going to have to pull together because of time then. But I think that's something that needs looking at and needs thinking about. There was this incredible move of the Holy Spirit and this incredible gathering of the early church. And that is something that is striking. Let me just say this. There were four things I've got here. First is that their roots went deep. They devoted themselves. They gave themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. But there's more here. You see, it says in verse 44, and awe, literally fear, but we're trying to explain that, awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. There was awe. Now, when it talks about the fear of the Lord, that doesn't mean the cringing fear of a slave. It means the awareness that God is God. Aslan is a lion, but he's not a tame lion. He is God. He is holy. He is almighty. He could snuff out our existence in a second. But he's not a mean God. He's not a horrible God. He is a good God. God is good. So this awe isn't the fear of an abused slave, but it's wonder, respectful fear of a holy God. And this awesomeness happened as signs and wonders were being done by the apostles. You know, sometimes you feel the awe of God when we're meeting together. Sometimes in times of corporate singing, we know the awe of God. I'm reminded of the 1859 revival in Wales. Not that I was there, but I'm reminded of a passage I read in a book about it. At Trevecca, where there was a Bible college and where Howell Harris ministered, at Trevecca in 1859, they finished a meeting. They sang what was the final hymn, and nobody moved for an hour. Such was the sense of the presence of God that nobody wanted to move. It's that realization that the God who we know is amongst his people, and nobody wanted to move, and nobody did move. Not because they were copying each other, but because God was there. God was there. Would you like to experience that? Wouldn't that be good to know the awesomeness of God? This God is amazing. And this church keeps growing. Keeps growing. So, third point I had was this, that the church was united. It was united. You see, they started sharing with each other. Oh, there's a need over there. Oh, I got some money. Now, that doesn't mean that we become a communist organization and nobody has, you know, personal checkbooks. This wasn't some kind of cult. This was what F.F. Bruce says, they were doing from the heart what the law commanded. They were doing from the heart. The Spirit had come now. And they didn't just need somebody to say, oh, there's a need over there. They saw it. And they sold something and gave people the money. There was this wonderful spontaneity. And thinking about this, you know, thinking about the love that they had together and the communal care. And it says, in the present continuous sense, they were selling their goods. They were doing that. It was a constant thing. This wasn't a one-off. You know, our heartstrings can constantly be tugged by the need to give. But this was amongst themselves. They were giving to each other. What an effect did that have upon the people who were around them? And thinking about the way that they met, not only in the temple, there was a central meeting, if you like, but there were also satellite meetings, house to house, home to home. And when we think about this word that comes up, they were together, this word comes up throughout the early chapters of Acts and up to chapter 15 and verse 25, either together or of one accord. That's how it's sometimes translated. There was this unity amongst them, this joyous unity. As we've said many times before, churches are not meant to be toxic. If they're toxic places, that is no good. But they're places of unity. That unity is sometimes cemented, often cemented, because it was house to house. There was everyday involvement. And you know, we've looked at small groups and we struggled with small groups. Part of the reason for that is our geographical locations. And another reason is it's probably something we need to talk about. You know, if you can't make a meeting, tell us when you can. I can't get out to house groups these days for a number of reasons, but I can't get out to house groups. And some of us, you know, Cher wanted to go on Monday night to the meeting down in Ruthin. She was just too tired. You know, sometimes we are tired physically. We're not the youngest. And the older we get, the more difficult it gets. So who wants a house group in the morning? Who wants a house group in the afternoon? I'm being serious. You know, if there are times when you can meet and you want to study the scriptures and pray and have koinonia fellowship, then that can be arranged. The last thing we want to do is to be stuck in a rut. I've discovered that in church, the only permanent thing is change. And we have to be open to doing whatever God wants us to do and find some workable alternatives. And time has run out, but the fourth point was this. The Lord added to their number. And the Lord saved day by day those who were being saved. The Lord added to their number. The news is, you and I can't do it. Without God, man can't do it. Without God, man won't do it. So you're not let off the hook. God does it. But he's doing it out of this generous, loving community who are glad and generous hearts. And like Ali was saying earlier with grace and thanks. If you've got a glad heart, you'll have a generous heart. If you've got a generous heart, you'll have a glad heart. Glad and generous hearts. That's something for us to aim for, to be the people of God. Let's just pray together, and then we'll say the church prayer together. Father, we pray to know the power of your Spirit amongst us, that the grace that we've experienced in you might be experienced by many throughout our several communities. The Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Lord, we pray, add to the number of your people and be glorified, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Shall we just say the prayer together?
Diolch am wrando. Thanks for listening. If we can help you further in any way, please use the contact form on our website.